Let us turn to the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, and we shall commence at verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail coming down upon the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. This chapter opens with verse 1, Behold, a king shall reign. And the chapter summary at the head of the chapter, if you have such an edition of the Authorized Version, sums it up like this: the blessings of Christ's kingdom. And what follows are very much those blessings, including Pentecost, there in verse 15, the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. So much of this looks forward to the times of the gospel, to our time. However, the chapter also shows that before then there must come 7 centuries before Christ will come. And there will be changing conditions for the people of Judah. Sin and chastisement, then restoration and prosperity, leading to better times. Verse 17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever, when we are right with God and do what is right. It gives peace to the conscience and a quiet heart. And God will also deal with his people's enemies, he says, verse 19, speaking of the city, shall be low in a low place. Babylon, the instrument of the Lord's chastening, carrying his people into captivity, but then afterwards they return. But Babylon shall be brought down in judgment. Verse 19, it shall hail coming down on the forest. Hail, an expression speaking of judgment. You remember one of the plagues of Egypt was hail crashing down upon the land. And so the Lord will deal with his people and restore them. The Lord will deal with his people's enemies and destroy them. And the chapter concludes with a benediction. Verse 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. It's a picture from the agriculture of the day. And it's a picture of life in Christ's gracious kingdom. As he reigns over us and we, his happy subjects, this speaks of everything being under the blessing of God. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. If you are a Christian this evening, there is nothing but blessing. That is what we have. We live and move and have our being under the benediction of heaven. Remember, there is a throne of grace above to which we come in prayer. Grace reigns. Grace is enthroned uppermost there and over Christ's kingdom of grace. Well, let us consider this promise and see how it applies to all of us this evening. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Let us see first of all the planting. Ye that sow beside all waters, and then the reaping. Blessed are ye, a blessed harvest. First, the planting, ye that sow beside all waters. Now, the picture is of seed sowing in October, November. The ox mentioned here pulls the plough, and the ass carries the sack of seed on its back. The waters are either a nearby river that irrigates the land, or the saturated land, making it like paddy fields. And the farmer sows the seed beside these waters. Now, this is a picture of all of us, a picture of what we are doing. Ye that sow. Life is a seed time, and there will be a reaping. Now, Paul in Galatians chapter 6 takes this figure up and he applies it in this very same way. And these are his words, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I remember when I was very exercised about being saved, and under a measure of conviction of sin, I suppose, looking back, not deeply, but I believe it was genuine. And I remember reading some lines which challenged me very much as I examined my life at that point. Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Now, what was I sowing? What are you sowing this evening? Are you sowing to the flesh, living just for this present life in the body, in this world, and pursuing your own life and choices and ways without God, careless of your soul, sowing to the flesh, and the flesh will have its own harvest? Or are you sowing to the Spirit, and are you regenerate in Christ, led by the Spirit of God, and that will have a harvest? You see, what we are and what we do have not only lifelong but eternal consequences. And the challenging thing is that we reap the same as we sow. As in nature, so it is in this regard. But we reap much more than we sow. And our lives are heading for harvest. Ye that sow. What seeds are you sowing? And what is the result going to be? What is the harvest that will take place? Such challenge, isn't it? Examine yourselves, where you're going, because what are you doing? And the consequences cannot fail to happen. Being a sinner, being an unbeliever, being out of Christ, it's not just a matter of living a life and imagining that it has no consequences, or only perhaps some consequences to people immediately around you. The fact is, what you are and what you're doing, it's going to produce things that will rise up in consequence. The very same things will come back. And like a harvest, seeds produce fruit-bearing things that have many more of the produce, the grains, and so much more than we sow. Ye that sow. What a comfort to know that we're sowing to the Spirit, and of the Spirit we shall reap life everlasting. But what if we're sowing to the flesh and just gratifying the body and the mind and living for this world? What will be the consequences? We sow the wind, we'll reap the whirlwind. There are consequences now, and there are consequences coming. Let me read those lines again. Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. It does matter where you are, what you are, what you're doing. It does matter what will come as a result of your life and your living. Ye that sow. We are all sowing. Life is a seed time. Harvest is coming. But let's look at it another way. The spread of the gospel. Ye that sow. Remember the parable of the sower and how that the good seed is the word of God. And our responsibility to broadcast it everywhere, like the farmer who scatters the seed over the land and expecting it to spring up and produce the fruits of the earth. We know that in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, God giveth the increase. As in nature, only God can make things fertilize and grow up and be fruitful. But it's like that in sowing the seed of the word, isn't it? Only God can make that seed a saving blessing to those who hear it. Only he can make the good ground to receive the word and it take root downwards and shoot upwards, and there be that harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. What a wonderful thing that is. But dear friends, we who sow it, however we sow it, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, we are laborers together with God. We are cooperating with him, having fellowship with him in this. It's a great comfort, great encouragement. As we sought to preach the gospel in Guildhall Square yesterday morning, give out tracts, talk to people, stand and identify ourselves with the gospel, fellowship with God, and the fellowship of the gospel with each other. Ye that sow. The care home this afternoon, sowing the good seed upon the hearts of the elderly residents. God, we trust, will give the increase. But nonetheless, we have done it together in fellowship with God. And there is a blessing in that, quite apart from any results. Fellowship with the Lord, even when there is no clear fruit, which we hope there will be. But ye that sow, we've sown the most precious thing, the thing that has eternal ramifications. What greater thing could there be than that? Be encouraged. And you friends that work amongst the children and young people, sow the seed upon them. Lord's Day morning by Lord's Day morning and other times as well. Ye that sow, God can give the increase. But your laborers together with him in this excellent work, God recognizes it. He commends it. There's a harvest. We're heading for harvest. It won't be inconsequential, the spread of the gospel. And then look at it another way. Ye that sow. We can apply it to good works. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and verses 1 and 2, the preacher has this picture and applies it in this way. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It's like Matthew 6, isn't it? Thine alms, giving and doing good. And dear friends, they all will come back. We're sowing the seed of good works, kindnesses, hospitality, love gifts, support for the Lord's people, doing all we can cheerfully. Thy bread upon the saturated earth, the waters. And notice the way it says, it doesn't say thy seed corn, but cast thy bread, as if it's already come back as a harvest, and the corn has been milled and baked into bread. It's already been blessed, and so it will come back, and much more. Our Lord in Luke 6 verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, in the house of Gaius, there were these riddles that were propounded. And one of them was this: a man there was, though some did count him mad, the more he gave away, the more he had. How was that? Well, you see, you give, but the Lord gives back. You sow and you reap more than you've sown. An encouragement to faithful giving, tithing, giving. You never lose when you give your tenth and over above as the Lord prospers you. You never lose it. God is no man's debtor. He will prosper you in return. No believer who has been faithful in the matter of cheerful giving to the Lord's work from their income has ever suffered penury. The Lord can multiply what's left and make it go so much further. My dear friends, we can't afford not to give. We can't afford not to be faithful. Children with their pocket money, trained up to give a portion to the Lord's work, and we who are older, faithful in this matter, ye that sow. You're not throwing it away. It's sown to come back to you as the Lord honours you and blesses you. And notice regarding this point, ye that sow beside all waters, all conditions and circumstances. When it looks pointless, how many discouragements there are. People don't want our gospel. Our good works are not appreciated, perhaps, or they are misinterpreted. And it feels like sowing to nothing. Beside all waters. It's not pointless. All waters. It's a work of faith. Faith looks beyond, and you never know what the Lord will do in blessing. Again, in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's a way of saying you never know. You just never know what will be blessed and where there will be the gracious results, where there shall be the reaping. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. There's a sovereignty in these things, dear friends. And our part is to be faithful. And his part is to do the consequences and take care of them. We aren't responsible for the circumstances, the consequences. We're responsible for the obedience. And we do the work of the kingdom. And that's a great comfort. Leave the results with the Lord. What a word that is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not even shall not be, but is not in vain. Right now, God regards it. God has his purposes for it. It's seed time, moving towards harvest. We perhaps do not know how, when, whether, but God does. Leave the results with him. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. The importance of the planting. We never neglect that. What we sow, so very important. Let's look secondly at the reaping. Blessed are ye. How can this be described as reaping? Well, because in sowing beside all waters, we are doing what pleases the Lord. And if it pleases the Lord, surely we are blessed. There is blessing in that. In James 1, verse 25, speaking about being doers of the word. Whoever is a doer of the word, not a hearer only, shall be blessed in his deed. Not for his deed, although that's true, blessed in it. There's a blessing in obedience of itself. God smiles. He's pleased with us. We have known his approbation, his approval, a good conscience, a sense of having done what the Lord calls us to do. The Lord knows how hard it is to persevere in the face of discouragements. And so there's a special blessing in doing it. We reap blessing in the doing. Blessed are ye. And it will be more than we know. We don't always see immediate fruit. But then that's the picture, isn't it? In nature, it's the same. You don't put seed into the soil and the next day it's all sprung up and there's a crop. There is a process. There is a gradual process happening. And it comes to fruition. And so it is often in the work of the kingdom, isn't it? In the work of grace in the soul, in the effect of the spreading of the gospel, the Lord dealing with us, drawing us to himself, in converting grace little by little, gradually. Sometimes it pleases the Lord to straightaway bless. You think of Saul of Tarsus. My, how much sowing the early Christians did by their prayers, didn't they? For this Saul of Tarsus, this man breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, rounding them up, imprisoning them, giving his vote for their being put to death, making some of them blaspheme in the prison. Lord, save this man, or Lord, save us from this man. And what was the result of their sowing? As they prayed and as they prayed, suddenly a light from heaven. And the Lord visited Saul of Tarsus there and then, and he was thrown to the ground, trembling and astonished. Sometimes there is a mighty harvest immediately, not always, but exceptionally. But who knows when it might be? But in other cases, little by little, gradually, you find in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 28, which I've always found very encouraging. Our Lord applies this principle there, Mark 4, 26, and he says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how." He doesn't lose any sleep about it. He sleeps because it's a process that happens. "And the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." That's the principle. We can leave it with God, continue planting, sowing, water it with our prayers. God gives the increase. There will be the reaping. It says in Psalm 126 and verse 6, "He that goeth forth with precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him." Note that word, doubtless. It's a check to unbelief, isn't it? It's a correction to our discouragement. Doubtless, no doubt about it, somehow or other, some when or other, the Lord will bless and there will be the gracious results. The story is told of a missionary in Urfa in Mesopotamia in the 19th century, I take it. He labored 13 years before he baptized a single convert. Everything was discouraging, even hopeless to human appearance. Then came an epidemic of cholera. People fled in panic, deserting the sick and the dying. The missionary, forgetful of self, ministered to the sufferers tenderly and tirelessly. The living and the dying blessed his name. Worn and weary, he at last himself fell a victim to the disease. All the survivors carried his body reverently and sorrowfully to a little grove outside the city walls. The work of the missionary was at an end. A successor was appointed, however, and when he was 9 miles away, he was met by a large company and conducted to Urfa with honours. Large numbers turned to Christ. A large house of worship was built and dedicated to the memory of the man who died for us. The corn of wheat had fallen into the ground and died, and precious was the harvest. You never know, do you? You never know. He that sow beside all waters, blessed are ye. And there is the blessing of being a good example. A good example to others. You know, it is inspiring when you see faithful people pressing on regardless. In a little situation with nothing to cheer them or encourage them. There are some ministers this very evening in some parts of the country. And what are they preaching to? They're preaching to the overwhelming majority, not of people, but empty pews, empty chairs, a few souls, hardly any. But there they are, faithfully standing in their place. And that shames our excuse-making and our feeble giving up, doesn't it? The inspiring example of faithful people, ministers in pulpits in such places, Sunday school teachers, just one or two children, but diligently preparing their Sunday school lesson on Saturday evening, lovingly, prayerfully giving it to the children Sunday morning, covering it with prayer, week in, week out, not schoolrooms bulging with children like there used to be, but just a very few. Never mind. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. They're not put off. They're not going to give up. It's the work of the kingdom. And the king is pleased. And God will somehow or other at some time give the increase. And these people, they inspire us and we thank God for them. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 2. Your zeal hath provoked very many. May we pray for them. And may they be blessed by God and live to see the results of their labours. But you see, it's a blessing of a good example. So let us be encouraged. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, sending forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He is such a good master that even a cup of cold water given in his name shall not lose its reward. We say, unprofitable servants. He says, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's part of the harvest that's coming. Life everlasting. And that's why the verse after that in Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And well-doing, he says, well done at the end. Does that not make it all so worthwhile? How favored we are. Oh, be sure you're sowing the right seed. Be sure that the harvest of gracious blessing is coming for you. And we who sow in this right way know that nothing shall be lost. All is worthwhile. He hath set an harvest for us. God is glorified, the greatest blessing of all. Blessed are ye. Have a single eye to this, and we will be blessed forever. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.